Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, I think my phone was muted. I wanted to give a shout out to everybody and thank you for tuning into the show. Today is me, Anarchy Monroe, and I'm co-hosting with Griselda Pachinko as well as Brent Tanhill. I want to give a shout out to our sponsors, Stand On The Media, Over The Top Productions, Lifestyle Power Players, Party Pack, Badass Bingo, and Get Free Film Festival. And before we get into it with our guest today, I just got this article in my inbox about a sister apparently that was killed. And let me just click on this real quick. Her name is Zella Ziana. And y'all got to read this article. It's on CBS News under the news and Police Insider. Hate crime against charges, murder of MD transgender woman. And it's just, I want y'all to catch just some of this, just in the first paragraph. I'm not going to get past the first paragraph because then I'm going to die. It said, police said 20-year-old Rico LeBlanc shot and killed Zella Ziana, whose legal name was DeAndre Smith, on October 15th because Ziana began, quote, acting flamboyantly towards LeBlanc and greatly embarrassed LeBlanc in front of his peers, according to the charging documents obtained by CBS affiliate WUSA. And the reason why I don't want to get more into that right this second is because I really just want to gag at the fact that they're going to put out this person's quote-unquote government name, just trying to embarrass and humiliate this girl, knowing she's trans. And, y'all, I want everybody to understand this. Once you transition, your name is your name, whether you've got it legally changed or not. People know who you are. They recognize you. They respect or don't respect you. The media has this bad habit, just because they're shady, that they want to put trans people out there in the light and then publicly humiliate us by using our old name. And personally, they can kiss every hair on my ass if I had hair on my ass. And I'm not the one. So y'all should also do me a great favor. Go on there, look at CBS News. Go make comments on there. Send some letters. And don't allow people to bully trans folks. Don't allow them to diminish her life. You know, being killed for being different, being shamed for being different, no matter what your skin tone is, age, color, culture, it's irrelevant. You need to just respect this person. And this is indeed a hate crime. People get offended because somebody is different and they express interest in you. There is a mature way to handle situations of this nature. Simply say, "Hi, I am not interested." That's what females do all the time. We don't kill people just because they hit on us and make us uncomfortable. When they're grabbing us by our asses and catcalling us when we're walking down the damn street. We just act like functional human beings, civilized people, and say, "Hey, no." So before we get into the guest of the show, we have a song getting ready to come on by Mariah Carey. Everybody knows I love me some Mariah. So We Belong Together is coming up.
Baby,
everybody. It's me, Anarchy Monroe, coming to you live from Capital C Productions. And today we have two guests on our show. You know, I am actually a big fan of one of these people in particular because I know her so well. Miss Criselda Pacheco, coming from NOLA, a.k.a. New Orleans. She is amazing at everything she does. She's a singer, songwriter, musician. She's got her own Facebook page called Sex and Judgment, The Conversation. She's doing very well at that. She's actually working on a book that's going to be coming out soon. Very spiritual woman. She also helped me get connected to the director of the film that I'm going to be in that comes out next year called Black Pervert. So I'm very thankful for her. And we also have Miss Bryn Tanhill. Are you there, Bryn? Hello?
Yes, I'm here now.
Hi, Love Muffin. Can you tell the world a little bit about yourself?
Well, there's not a lot to tell. I moved out to the D.C. area, just northern Virginia. About 6 months ago, I write for Bellerico, or used to, Huffington Post, Advocate, and I mean, I'm not that talented like your other guest. I just write snarky blog posts and make fun of people. That's really about all I do.
Oh, we have a lot in common.
Then we all three have that in common. We must all have some smart ass mouths, and that's what works in our favor. And I would like to say this: if my producer, the wonderful, simply nay, Ayanna Ford, says something good about you and believes in you, that means that you've got some talent, because she knows talent when she sees it. She knows power when she sees it, so embrace it. So,
thank you.
You're very welcome, love. So before we get into the topic at hand, y'all heard that little snippet of what I said before we went into Miss Mariah Carey. We Belong Together. What do y'all think of that particular issue? Criselda.
About the issue that you spoke about regarding the person who was murdered and the media?
Yes, how they portrayed her life.
Well, you know, I'm sure that in a lot of different ways, a lot of people can, you know, they have their opinions about the media because, you know, the media, it speaks for one big, giant, you know, one-eyed monster, you know what I mean? And it doesn't really consider all the different people and all the different experiences that there are, you know what I mean? It's very centralized. And so, again, whatever it doesn't understand, you know, whatever it fears, it doesn't understand. You know what I mean? It makes fun of, it scapegoats, it demonizes, and so on. We see that with people of color. We see that with women. Poor people, anybody who is outside of this norm, you know what I mean? Ooh, you know, they're weird and demons and they're the bad people. They're the other all the time. So it doesn't surprise me, you know? It doesn't surprise me that they do that. They report that way. You know, it just doesn't surprise me at all.
What do you think about this, Brand?
So this is the 21st, I believe, 21st trans person that's been murdered this year. And just about every single one of them has been a trans woman of color. And I look at this, and trans women of color lie at this intersection of just Fox News horribleness, where they want to blame, you know, when a black person is murdered, they want to blame it on the black person. And when a trans person is murdered, they want to blame it on the trans person for being murdered. And the media does this across the board, where anytime a trans person is murdered, they bring up every nasty, ugly, sordid piece of their history, whether it's relevant to what actually happened or not, because they want to imply that somehow we are to blame for being murdered by someone else. And it's just despicable.
I think it's interesting. One of the words, the adjective they used was, acting flamboyantly. And what that tells me in the context of this particular story is they're trying to portray her like she was a man in drag. If y'all saw a picture of this woman, she is clearly, no shade, no tea, she is hot. She is hot. I would have been like, hello, how you doing? Like, ew, like I wouldn't have thought twice about saying hello. And so it frustrates me because, not because I'm surprised, not because of the media standpoint on it, but how they choose to misgender people and how they choose to marginalize our stories, and they always want to victim blame. If your job is to be the media and to talk about the situation and to bring it to a larger audience, all you got to do is tell the truth. And I don't see what's so hard about that.
Have you ever heard of the case of Larry King out in California a couple of years ago?
No. Spill the tea.
So several years ago, a high school student named Larry King, who may or may not have been transgender, but was definitely genderqueer, gender nonconforming, was basically annoying a classmate by being too flamboyant. His classmate shot King twice in the back of the head in computer class. And when it went to the jury, and because King had been acting too flamboyantly towards the murderer and embarrassing him, the jury deadlocked because the murderer used the trans panic defense. And I'm looking at this, I'm going, this is just, I can see where this is going. This is setting up, they're already setting up to give this person an option to use the transgender panic defense that, oh my gosh, I panicked because the person was transgender, so I shot them. And the scary thing is that the jury in California, the first jury they had, deadlocked. They could not reach a verdict in the murder trial. And eventually, even though the classmate of King had gone home, gotten a gun, and come back the next day to kill King, they ruled that it wasn't premeditated.
Try some shit like that. We're going straight to jail.
So, you know, I'm looking at what's happening here in Maryland, and I'm just going, in Gaithersburg, I'm just going, oh my God, this is, they're setting this up. This is exactly where it's going. And the only place where the trans panic defense is illegal is in California.
Wow.
They're going to be able to bring that crap out in court here.
Chriselda, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, I mean, you know, I've always been interested in the psychology behind things, because psychology and sociology and socioeconomics, you know, everything's connected to whatever's going on, you know, in the mind and what's being projected. And it's just one of those things that earlier when I talked about not being surprised with the media and the way they represented the story and the way they set it up, you know, they literally are framing, they're framing the victim, right? Because even when you work in media, you have to have a framework. You're working within a framework. So they are literally framing, you know, the victim. And psychologically, that's like something that is called gaslighting. You know what I mean? Like the gaslighting is something that the narcissist uses, like a manipulative tool to blame the victim. It's from the movie called, I think it's called Gaslighting or something in the 40s. And the guy is trying to discredit this woman who knows something about him, so he's threatened by her. So in order to discredit her, he was messing around with her gaslights outside her house to make her feel like she's losing her mind so that she loses credibility in her community. And so now psychology and psychologists they use that term, you know what I mean, to describe that manipulative technique, because that's what the narcissist does. So when you think about it like that, right, psychologically, and then you zone out and look at the way the media treats, you know, the victims. Isn't that something similar? You know, it just goes to show that we live in this sociopathic, I don't know, society where that's what's running the show. Does that make sense? You know what I mean, like psychologically speaking?
Yeah, it makes sense. That leads into the main topic of today's show, which is, you know, health, mental health, spiritual health.
Mm-hmm.
Social health, economic health, and why it's so important that we talk about these issues. why is it important, at least on one standpoint, one of the issues I hear you guys bringing up is about the bullying aspect of this and how society chooses, at least in this culture, to minimize and then defame and then marginalize and humiliate a victim of a crime. I cannot imagine being a parent in that particular situation, knowing that somebody felt bothered by my child just being themselves and then went home, got a gun, came back the next day, and then shot my kid, and them say it's not premeditated.
I mean, that's where we're at. It's like, how obvious does this have to be anymore, right? I mean, they're just doing it right, playing the side of day. It's just, I mean, how obvious is it?
Seriously. Like, who does that? Who does that besides the police and gets away with that? Somebody with privilege, money, power, and connections. And that's why we have to learn to be strong as a community, and we have to learn to be healthy. And both you guys are here to talk about mental health. And you guys both have two different perspectives on how you should, how people can, you know, deal with mental health. And there is no one, you know, one shoe fits all. There are diverse ways that all you people out there listening on the show can learn to strengthen your mind, your body, your spirit, your soul. And I want to first hand this over to Bren, because Bren, I would like to know if you could, you know, give a suggestion or two, and then just go ahead and elaborate on that, why those particular issues that you see would be beneficial to someone.
Well, if you're talking about this, the number one thing you can do for your own mental health is, first of all, don't read the comments. Just don't read the comments. This is where the absolute worst of humanity goes to spill whatever is at the bottom of their souls onto the internet. And it's not going to make you feel better. It's going to essentially, you're letting yourself be gaslighted by people who wish you harm. And that's not a good idea. The other thing is that you try and surround yourself by people who are positive and supportive. And that can be so hard to find. But sometimes it comes down to, you know, being around the family you choose rather than the family you're given. And that's a very, very hard thing to do. But sometimes that is, in fact, what is the best thing for ourselves, is taking out the negative influences, the influences that make us question ourselves, that make us feel isolated and alone and hated, and finding those that lift us up, those that support us, those that recognize us for who we are, that encourage us to see ourselves as we see ourselves.
I feel like a light bulb just went off. Like, that was some good wisdom. Brent, I do have a question to go along with what you just said, and I'm not trying to put you in a spotlight, make you feel uncomfortable.
Sure.
But what are the, you know, the benefits of the family situations that you've seen? Are there a lot of trans folks that you know of, or women in general, that have had to make families outside of their biological family system?
I think, especially for those of us who are Generation X and older, that, yeah, we have to do that more and more often, and because there's less and less acceptance out there for us in older generations. Another example of this is that there's less queer community for people in rural communities. I just came out of Ohio, and
I'm
a rural
so
part of Ohio.
Sorry. So,
and
fuck Ohio with a capital O. I am so sorry. I grew up there and I went back to visit. That was the worst place in America I have ever been. Hell,
you know,
no, never again.
You know, I was speaking with one doctor who treats transgender patients from all over the country, and her comment was that the two worst places for transgender people to be that she can tell are Ohio and Alabama, which, you know, never has a state tried so hard to be Alabama as Ohio is now, which really isn't a bragging point. It really is. This is not the right direction.
Listen, listeners, if you're out there, please put your pinky finger up for the capital T, sipping some tea, because what she is telling you is the unfortunate but honest, bloody truth.
You know, and sometimes this is something that I hate to say it, but sometimes a change of location is good for you. And the example I use is the mother of a transgender child out in Ohio that I'm in contact with. And this woman is in rural Ohio, and she has a 7-year-old transgender daughter. And they've got a 7-year-old getting death threats and a sheriff's office that won't investigate any of the death threats because they don't see them as being repeated often enough and specific enough. And she's admitted to me that she just wants to leave. And so sometimes, and this is very metaphorical, is the best thing you can do for taking care of yourself is extract yourself from a bad situation if you can. You don't have to put up with being mistreated. You just, there is no obligation to do so. And if you can, you don't owe people who mistreat you anything.
Ding, 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 ding. You don't owe anybody anything, because, you know, what I've learned in this is there are a lot of, if you have a good lighting, you know, there's a lot of leeches in society who have nothing, or maybe they're just too lazy or whatever the heck it may be. And if you don't protect that light and you don't use that light to, you know, fill yourself up and do something positive with, people are going to take advantage of that, or they're going to try to drain you of all that, which kind of leads me into Criselda, because, you know, you're kind of the spiritual person, you're into those kinds of things, and you understand things about, like, energy vampires and the emperor, you know, it's a system that tries to destroy lives and drain us. What can you add to this particular conversation?
As it relates to, like, mental health, you mean, or... In
yes,
way.
Darling. Spirituality.
Okay,
For those who do not understand, I firmly believe that spirituality, sexuality, and a few other things are all a part of mental health and should be taken seriously. So that's why, in part, I asked Criselda to be a guest on this show, because she takes the time out of her day and her work to assist people who are on their journey of self-discovery, as well as opening up windows of understanding about what social and forces people are coming up against in our society. So go ahead, Chris.
Well, I have to agree with your other guest, too. I mean, because, you know, the thing is, it's not about what we think we know about ourselves. It's what we don't know about ourselves that's dangerous. And what I mean by that is that if somebody else sees it before you see it, then they have an opportunity to use it against you. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the Achilles heel and, like you said, the energy vampires and people who don't have really good motives. You know, what I mean by that are just, like, motives that are based out of fear. Like, oh, I'm going to trash so-and-so, I'm going to gaslight so-and-so, I'm going to, just like you were mentioning earlier about the comments, I agree completely, because what all that is a whole bunch of projection. You know, people who are so afraid to look inside of this, like, we all have this, like, level of shame, and we don't even know why it's there. So I think the root of a lot of this pain that the world is in, and the reasons why people are not trying to build bridges to understand people who are different than them, is because there's just, like, this level of shame that we're not in touch with for some reason. And it's interesting. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, then
yeah,
why
okay.
not? And why aren't we in touch with it? Or what the hell is that anyway? Everything about that kind of word and bringing that to the forefront is new. You know what I mean? We don't think of that. But it colors everything we do, you know, either way. So everything is rooted in shame, and if we don't understand our own shame and we don't understand why it's there especially, then we just keep giving our power away to everything outside of ourselves to do with us as it sees fit. You know what I mean? So I think the number one most important thing for mental health is for people to really find a way, whatever that is to them, that helps them question their own motivations, you know, like peel the veils back in their own minds, like really get to the core of what motivates you and your true agenda. And it with no judgment, you know what I mean? To be able to step outside of your own mind and say, okay, look, I'm going to give myself 5 minutes and I'm not going to beat myself up about the real answers to the questions I'm about to ask myself. You know what I mean? I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be naked to myself for just 5 minutes, and I will not allow myself to judge anything that comes to my mind because that's not right. I'm not going to do that to myself. So then when you give yourself permission to really get that honest, then when your 5 minutes is over and you look at it and you're like, oh, shit, that's the real answer. You know what I mean? There it is. And now I have the power in my own hands and nobody else can use it against me now because now I can use my will. You know, now I can change it because now I know what I'm really doing and why, not lying to myself. I think that once we're able to find a pathway towards doing that for ourselves, we will start to find more and more freedom. And when you have that kind of freedom, comments like the ones, you know, online and things like that, they don't have that kind of impact on you anymore because you really do know yourself. You're not that sensitive. You know what I'm saying? In fact, you understand that they're just projecting. But it takes a lot of hard work. You know, it's really hard to get to know your own mind and become your most authentic self. It's hard.
I want to add something. Oh, my God, I totally just did. What is that, public access radio voice? The guy, you know, he talks to me, he's like, I want to eat my crackers now. Like, and I'm going to chew a little bit and sip some water. And he's like, it's so sacky and it's so hilarious. But me and you talk fairly often, Griselda, and you talk about this thing about the emperor has no clothes. And this week you kind of dropped a new element on it in terms of our conversation about the emperor within. And I would love if you could really just break that down and talk about how to unveil the emperor within or see it for what it really is. Mm-hmm. I think it's critical for a lot of us.
Yeah, no, it's every single human being, including myself. I mean, we have all tricked ourselves, you know. And that's what I mean by the emperor with no clothes. I mean, that's been around for a while. It's based off of a book. I don't remember the author's name off the top of my hand. I think I have a hard time pronouncing his name, in fact. But basically what it's about is that story is about a little boy who is in a square with his family, and the emperor is walking through the square, and the emperor is naked, but everybody's clapping for him, and he's all fancy and walking with his head up in the air, you know. But he's naked. His balls are hanging out. You know, it's just, there he is. But everybody's clapping and pretending that he's not naked. And so, you know, you understand what that means. That sometimes we have to be nice, or we just, you know, we don't want to really tell the truth. But look at the collateral damage that has created in the world. You know what I mean? And in our lives and in our own families. And so when I say the emperor within, we all have that seed of the pretender. You know what I mean? And it grows and grows the more and more we give away who we really are just so we can fit in. And so whatever that is inside of our minds, it looks different for everybody. That's what I mean by the emperor within, because you cannot spot who is doing that to you, what organization is doing that to you, that the media is doing that to you, that so-and-so is doing that to you, that the president, that whatever, the government. You cannot spot the naked emperor outside of yourself until you really, really find it within your own mind first. And the more and more you find it, you know, the more you'll see it outside of you. You can... That's your protection. That's how you know.
And so I want to jump on this really quick, and I'm going to tag Brennan after I say this, is why I think it's important to talk about the emperor has no clothes on. Why do we need to talk about unveiling the crap within us? And this is important for our trans allies as well, because a lot of people who have been placed in the category of other, and, you know, people like me who fit into many different other categories, you know, being Native American, being, you know, African American, being a punk rocker, an anarchist, you know, being modified, you know, being part of the body modification community, BDSM, you know, all those social groups are considered the other. So I'm just like this big anomaly of otherness. And so a lot of times in our communities, not always, but a lot of times what we have to do is we have to do the work of looking at ourselves. We have to do a lot of evaluating of what's going on in our hearts and in our minds to come into our true sense of self. Why is it that we have to do this kind of work? And why is it important for our allies and those who are listening to do this kind of work? Because you cannot debunk a lie if you are still living in it. This is the truth. Like, if you don't know it's a lie, you're going to continue to perpetuate a lie. That is why it was important that when Bryn said, don't read the comments, why is it important to not read the comments? Because those people who are commenting are generally very ignorant and have some opinions, but they have not done the self-realization, the self-activation work, find out who they really are. And so it's kind of like, and I talk about this often in my private life, it's kind of like the Matrix. People are living in this world of make-believe, believing things are a certain way, and they don't challenge that. And the minute they have the opportunity to see that things are different, they fight tooth and nail to protect themselves in this matrix because they don't want their reality to be debunked.
And do you mind if I jump in for a second here?
Please do. Go for it, darling.
So a good friend of mine years ago once observed that the key to self-acceptance is empathy, but it's not empathy for yourself. It's empathy towards other people. And what I mean by this is that she observed that most people only have just enough empathy to be able to accept themselves. When your ability to empathize with others goes beyond just yourself, goes beyond just people who look like you and sound like you and share a space with you, but it goes to lots of other people. It goes to people far outside your own experiences and even those you disagree with. When you're able to empathize with even those people, then you're actually able to accept yourself and take a deeper, more honest look at yourself because you're able to accept yourself regardless of what comes out of that self-introspection. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I'm not a religious person, but there are moments of peace and tranquility and centeredness that you can get through meditation or other have traditionally been regarded as spiritual in some way. And these are moments when you are able to accept people that you can look into yourself and start thinking about just what your thoughts and emotions mean and keep them separate from all those other outside influences to tell you who you are, what you should think, and who you should be, and how you should be, and how you should express who you are. And when you get away from those, in those moments of silence where it's just you and yourself, those moments of peace, those moments of and given some time to actually do that, that's when you figure out who you are and who you want to be.
You know, and I want to piggyback on this before I hand it over to Griselda, is, you know, Pink said something about not wanting to be the loudest girl at the party, be the last one to leave the bar. And I think that's very critical because I feel like in mainstream society, there's this expectation of women to feel like they need to, the imposed images, you know, you know, you're going through your 20s, 30s, whatever, and you got to be loud and drunk and reckless and out of control all the time. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because I am loud and I can be reckless, and I, you know, I just happen to have a great support system that knows how to just reel my wild ass back in, because I like to sip my tea with a lot of rum in it. Just a whole half a bottle of rum to the splash of Saint Germain, and then give me all the sour alcohol in the bar, because I want to be lifted and pretend today did not happen. But the important thing is after you're, after all that is said and done, when
I'll
you
be there to
the
hold
bar,
your hair.
Oh, please do. He had to hold my hair. He's sitting over here on the floor listening. He literally had to hold my hair. He's, at least once or twice he's had to hold my hair. I was a train wreck. And you know why I did it? For the very issue that we're talking about now, I didn't want to face something. I didn't want to evaluate something. I was freaked out. I was nervous. And we've got to learn to deal with those still small voices within us. Whether you turn out to be right or you turn out to be wrong, the power is taking the time to figure out what's going on in you. There is no possible way that you can be successful emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, even if you're not a spiritual person, but the energy that exudes from you, if you are not doing the work inside of yourself. Then if you don't, and I want to make this so clear to people, you can, what happens when you get successful financially or economically, socially, but you don't do the work, you turn into Donald Trump.
That's true.
You're another megalomaniac, obsessed with your own power. You're unhealthy. You're toxic to the community around you. You don't understand. He is like the prime example of the emperor with no clothes on. Am I right, Chris?
Yeah, for sure. Yes, he's like the sore that pops up on the sick body.
Oh my God, he's a herpes on my ass. I'm telling you, he's on my ass.
You know, if he is the prime example of the emperor with no clothes, then I would have to say that like Ted Cruz is basically the epitome of a YouTube commenter.
Yes,
you know what it is? He's a caricature, right? He's his own caricature. They all are,
so
I guess.
I know you got some comment about that. I know you have an analogy or a story, that image that is like the Ted Cruz's.
Who? Me? Do I have? Who are you talking to?
You know you do. I know you got it in your bag of tricks. Don't play.
What do I say about Ted Cruz?
Girl, do not play. Y'all, I'm gonna throw my people out there. Listen, people like Ted Cruz are gigantic children throwing temper tantrums.
Oh yeah,
they're
no, they are.
Uneducated. Yes. Go, girl.
Well, they are. I mean, just
listen, y'all, if she met Ted Cruz, not only is she gonna get his money, she's gonna take a piss on his face.
And you know what? He's gonna pay me for it.
Get your coins, y'all. Get your coins. Go ahead, Chris.
I was like, oh, yeah, exactly. So,
got wet thinking about it, love.
Corporate
coins.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I'll eat some, what's that, asparagus, whatever that is, before you, and you make your pee smell. Anyway, I'll be doing all that before that.
Yes.
And, I mean, look, this he is, yes, you're right about, I feel, and I agree with you, yes, about Trump and Ted Cruz. And, man, it's insane, yes, because it's like a litmus test, you know, into who we are becoming as a whole. Like in this country, at least, that's what wants to represent who we are, you know what I mean? And he doesn't represent who I am or who you are and, you know, a lot of people, but he's still the poster boy out there for America, you know what I mean? So,
America.
So what does that say about us then? You know, that's all I'm saying, is sometimes things are an invitation to reflect, you know what I mean, about who we are depending on how we react and respond to anything. And
I want to add to this really quick. Hold on.
Yeah.
And Ted Cruz himself, his last name, Cruz, Bruz, automatically puts him, if we're going to go with the mainstream society as a whole, even though, you know, we have a growing Latino Central American population,
uh-huh.
he is still, socially speaking, the other.
Uh-huh. Where is he from? What is his Cruz? I don't even know, really.
I don't know if he's Cuban or not, but I think he's Canadian.
He was born in Canada, eh? Oh, you know, Cruz is kind of trying to set this weird cultural minimum standard for treatment of LGBT people as, at least we aren't throwing you people off of buildings like ISIS. What more do you want? I mean, and that's kind of, he literally freaking said that, basically, and in Iowa, and that's literally where this one segment of society, the YouTube commenters of society, want us to go to. And one level, it's like, oh, my God, you know, wow, could you possibly set the bar any lower for, you know, making you feel good about yourself? I mean, okay, I'll give you credit for that, for feeling, like, big and magnanimous because you aren't throwing anybody off of buildings. But could you try a little harder, just a little? I mean, open your heart just a bit.
No, that's giving him too much leeway. Try a little bit harder.
I'm not saying go to one of our weddings or hang out with us on Friday nights at the Mass.
Oh,
I'm just, you know.
No, don't you do it. Don't you do it. Because if you are a part of the community, you know the tea. Everybody out there listening, please put your pinky finger up because I'm about to spill the tea. Because y'all know I'm the messy one. I am not the one that's not going to tell you. People like Ted Cruz and people like Donald Trump are the ones that Cruz gay bars low key in disguise, acting like they don't want to suck some dick on the low, and they know they want to get some. They're getting fucked in the bathroom stall, getting dick sucked in the glory hole, fucking behind the bar, low key. And now that they got a little money now, they ain't cruising on the low. Now they ordering the escort and hire them to the hotel rooms low-key, whether it's trans or otherwise, getting that booty turned in and out, ass-flat, ball-gag, and then going to leave the room and pretend it never happened in the public eye and shame everybody he was already fucking. So let that bullshit the bullshitters, because trans folks and LGBT and women are being bullshitted by the emperor every motherfucking day, and I am not going to let him pass. And that's the key. Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, please pull your dicks out of your asshole or pull them out of your mouth. Stop sucking the dick of approval for others because you don't want to be real and authentic with yourself. Tag them out.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I'm fairly,
I mean,
most people. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Giselle.
No, I just said that's it. No, I'm just saying hallelujah.
You know, some people have skeletons in their closet. I'm fairly certain these people have gimp suits, so.
I was just going to say gimp. Oh,
Not even, like, the little penis syndrome. You know what? Hold on. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to keep it 100, because Griselda Brin has this thing she says. It's called the dry pussy epidemic. And, honey, when she said that, I was sitting in her room, like I was down in her temple, because she has a temple at her place, and I was visiting for Mardi Gras, and she said, the dry pussy epidemic. I have never run into so many men who cannot sexually satisfy me, and who cannot put in the effort, who want me to ride the dick instead of them dicking me down, and I got to do all the damn work, and she's like, I'm already the hot one. So now I got to be the hot one and do all the work. Y'all lazy motherfuckers. I ain't got time for that. You can get the fuck out. And she literally will tell people like me, she will tell y'all, get the fuck out. Because this is a part of our mental health. My sexual health is a part of my mental health. And if you can't get your shit together, and y'all got a bunch of big-ass named individuals who are insecure, who feel like they have money, they have title, they have position, but they still honestly don't love themselves. Or maybe they love themselves, but in a narcissistic, pig-headed sort of kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong?
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, that's it. I mean, it's not even real love. It's compensation of some strange, twisted sort, right? I mean, it's not empathetic, you know. Just like we were talking about earlier, it's just not empathetic. It's no consideration for the periphery, let alone human beings, or that other people's experiences are just as valid as their experiences. See, that's what I see. It's like people are so concerned with right or wrong that they forget to be honest. And we've done that too, you know, where there was a time where we're so scared of being wrong that we're just going to fib a little bit. You know what I mean? Just to add a little soft whatever. And we do that. And then little by little, you know, it's a slippery slope because we wind up now another version of ourselves that is far from who we are. You know what I mean? So it's I can't remember
how that is. No, hold on, Criselda. Before we, because we're getting ready to end the show, we're just getting ready, everybody. And just in case things get a little, you know, erratic, because we went into mental health, sexual health, I touched myself a few times and vomited thinking about Donald Trump. Criselda, I need you. I need you right now to give me a 30-second synopsis. Just a G-rated PG-13. I don't give a fuck. Matter of fact, you can be fucking X if you want to. Synopsis on the dry pussy epidemic. Can you explain this to people? Because I think there's a lot of people out there who do not understand the struggle that they are dealing with.
Well, I mean, it's incentive. Give me a reason, as Tracy Chapman thinks about, right? Like, give me a reason to stay here. Like, give me a reason to, like, not have the Sahara, you know, and a thing going on down there. Like, I want to bring the rain, man, you know? Like, please show up for me. That's all. And it's just that the more you know about that in your own mind, the more you want that kind of hero, because you're being your own hero. You want somebody else to be a hero.
Hold on. I'm not going to let you get a pass with that. I am not going to let you get a pass with that response. I know you can come harder in the paint. I need you, Zelda, to fill the tea. You better say it.
What?
Priselda, if you hold back. If you don't give me that uncensored realness. You are not giving me uncensored realness.
About the dry pussy epidemic? Dry pussy epidemic, that's not censored. Okay.
I'm going to tell y'all. She'd be like, I'm trying to fuck. I can't get none because his dick won't stay hard. He can't have a conversation and at least get my
mind. Oh, yeah, well, you said 30 seconds, so I was just like, broop, you know what I mean?
I need that X rating on top of it. I'm sorry I said PG-13, but I'm just a whore.
Well, I mean, it's like, hello, God, you know? Now I have to think, too, and I only know for you. Shit, can't read your mind. But, yes, dry pussy epidemic. It's just, look, people are always playing mind games. These fucking people come out of my house, and they're looking at me like I don't see their slip showing. So when people act like that, it doesn't turn me on. Because then I have to work, you know, harder, and then I have to meet them where they're at, and I don't like where they're at, and it bores me.
I live. Because I don't know if you've had to do it, Bryn, but I'm about to say this, and then, Bryn, I need you to answer the question, and then give everybody your contact information. But, Bryn, have you been in the position that Criselda and I have been in? Because I've been in the position. Well, you're getting ready to get your freak on with somebody, and they say they're at a certain standard. And then they show up, and they are nowhere near that standard, and you're just like, oh, hell no. You got to get the fuck out. Like, literally, I was wearing, like, my thigh-high red boots with 6 to 8 inch heels. I was looking lavish, darling. I was on fleek that day, and he tried it, and I put my boots on his neck, and I said, you tried my patience. Now get the fuck out.
I don't think I haven't had that in a long time. All I can say is, truthfully, thank God for lesbians, because oh my God, it's my current partner. The best thing about it was having somebody telling me, thank goodness I don't have to play fucking lesbian tour guide with you. You know, having somebody who actually knows what they're doing and is happy to be doing it rather than say, no, 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 a little more, no, 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 it's down there. No, no, not that. No, 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 back up. No, it's, you know, no rampaging straight towards the clitoris. You know, you're not having to deal with that. You know, it's nice. It's nice who knows, having somebody with you who already knows the terrain to begin with.
So, Brand, darling, I'm definitely weak over here because I was definitely making out with chicks earlier this week and it was a wonderful time, like really hot video. But I need your contact information, Brand. Can you tell everybody where they can get a hold of you and touch themselves?
All right, so it's BrynTannehill.com is my website, BrynNNEHILL.com. You can also find me at Bryn.Tannehill on Twitter, and you can also find me on Facebook. You can also look me up on The Advocate or Huffington Post. There's contact for me on my website as well.
And Ms. Criselda, a.k.a. the Devil, a.k.a. Lilith, a.k.a. the Queen of Sex and Judgment, can you please tell everybody where they can get a hold of you and touch themselves to your stuff?
Only if they send me, you know, whatever happens after that in a jar so I can hold their spirit in the temple.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Anyways, but you know, the only way to get a hold of me right now is to find the fan page for Sex and Judgment, which I just launched today on Facebook. And it's just Sex and Judgment and E and the word judgment on Facebook. So just type that in, and that's where I'll actually add more information as the blog is launched, and then the Vimeo and YouTube channel is launched, a podcast, and then next year we're going to have an online magazine. So, you know, trying to bring this conversation around the fire again. That's pretty much what this is.
So I want to thank both of my guests for being on the show today. You guys fucking rock. I'm definitely going to masturbate to the knowledge I've obtained today from your shared experiences.
Rock on,
sapiosexual. Oh, yes. Yes, darling. Just like that. Just like, oh, yeah, right there. You guys can get a hold of me on Instagram at The Real Anarchy Monroe, Twitter at Anarchy Monroe, on Facebook at Anarchy Angels TV. That's essentially where you can get a hold of me at. So I'm going to let everybody go. DJ, Miss Ayanna Ford, a.k.a. Simply Nay, the boss bitch, can you throw our song on our outgoing?
Hold up.
Hey.
You wanna get freaky like again? I've
been a lot of places, seen a lot of faces. Oh, hell, I even fuck with different races. A white dude, his name was John. He had a Queen Bee Rules tattoo on his arm. He asked me if I'd be his day for the prom, and he'd buy me a horse, a portion of farm. Damn, a nigga from down south used to like me to spank him and come in his mouth. And Thorny, he was a thousand. He didn't give a fuck, that's what I liked about him. He ate my pussy from dark to the morning. Called this girl up and told her we was boning. Puerto Rican Poppy used to be a deacon, but now he be sucking me off on the weekend. And this black dude I call King Kong, he had a big ass dick and a hurricane tongue. To my niggas in jail, beating they dicks to the double XL magazine. You like how I look in the aqua green? Get your Vaseline, roll some weed with some tissue and close your eyes. Then imagine your tongue in between my thighs. Feel, open up, cell block. All right, that's enough. Stop, looking, listen, get back to your position. Kim got your dick hard, start fights in the yard. Hotter than a Pop-Tart, fresh out of the toaster. Niggas do anything for a little Kim poster. Essays, Bloods, Crips, all the thugs up north in the hole. They all wanna know. Hold on to your seat, niggas, grab your meat while I ride the beat. And if you see a shiny black Lamborghini fly by you, that's me the night rider, dressed in all black with the gat in the lat. Lunatics in the street, gotta keep the heat. 60 on the bezel, 100 on the ring, sitting pretty baby with a cash money bling. 12 a.m., I'm on my way to the club. After 3 bottles, I'll be ready to fuck. Some niggas even put me on a grocery list, right next to the whipped cream and box of chocolate. Designer pussy, my shit coming flavor. High class taste, niggas got to send paper. Live it right the first time, all you gotta do it over. Like it's rehearsal for a tussy commercial.
Come in, feel the treasure. Come in, baby, you get to the center.